Praise the Lord. Good morning. We're getting ready to start today. We're going to talk about a new perspective. Before I do that, I want to say hi to Jackie. I know you're getting ready to come up. Be safe on the... Deb says, hi, Jackie. Have a safe trip up. Jim and Kathy, it is a lovely 26 degrees today. Not a lot of snow, but we're supposed to rain later this week, so we should have some actually water in the lake this summer.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Kathy.
Andy and Dale, hoping you're having a wonderful time down there in Arizona. Keep safe. Look forward to seeing you. Anyone else listening at home? Terry and Barb, if you find yourself bored in Mesa, Arizona, and you need to come see some beautiful countryside, we happen to have some. Come on up. The people all over the country, or wherever you are listening to this, know that God is still on the throne. We had a meeting last week. Back on Tuesday, we go to a pastor's meeting in Waterbury, Vermont, about 60, 70 miles from here. But we go to this meeting once a month, and the had a visiting minister, sort of kind of visiting minister. He's from Vermont, but he lives in Jordan. His mom is the pastor of a church right in our state capital. And he was there talking, and as he was relaying that he had been in, I want to say it was Sweden. He had been in Europe, at any rate, in one country that's very low percentage of the population is Christian. And as he was sharing with the ministers there, he mentioned how he knew it was a hard place, and he got rebuked. And the people he was visiting with, the pastors he was visiting with, said, we don't use language like that. He said, what we have is an open heaven. What we have are the fields ripe unto harvest. So as we begin looking at the people around us and looking at the air part of the country where we are, rather than looking and seeing it as someplace difficult to minister or someplace hard to reach into the hearts of people, recognize that we have people all around us that need Jesus. And God's heart is for the lost. I want to talk this morning about a new perspective. Changing the way we look at things. Changing the way we relate to the situations that we find ourselves in. Changing the way we wrap our mind around the circumstances. First, I want to go with 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. You're familiar with this. It's the love chapter. And he says, I don't think now the way I used to think back then. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. As we had gone through our lives prior to our encounter that changed our lives forever by coming into the presence of the true and living God, we had our own way of looking at things. We had our own perspective. Our entire, the way we viewed any situation is colored by our experience. And that is normal. That is the same for everybody. Regardless of what your experiences are or have been, they color the way you see events. They color the way you understand things. They fit into your reasoning. But now that we've had that encounter with the true and living God, now that we've had the change that touches and changes our lives, we can't allow ourselves to fall back into the old way of thinking. Paul says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Bible tells us that the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. And that the carnal mind is an enemy of God, is contrary to the things of God. That natural way of thinking is against what God wants to do. But we are called to put on the mind of Christ. We are called to put on the new man. We are called to be different. One place it says, come out from among them and be ye separated. We are called a peculiar people. We are called to be changed and be different. In John 9, beginning with verse 19, as we read, you'll realize I jumped into the middle of a story. John 9, beginning with verse 19, we're talking about the young man that was born blind. Jesus healed him. And then Jesus went away, and the scribes and Pharisees were trying to figure out what was going on. So pick up in verse 19. It says, they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And we know that God spoke to this fellow, but as spoke to Moses, as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. And the man answered and said to him, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone could open the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I want you to stop and think for just a minute about this guy. He was born blind, and he didn't know what happened. All he knew was that somebody came and healed him. And as he was healed, he's immediately getting attacked by the religious leaders of the day. See, Jesus had the temerity to heal this man on the Sabbath day. Can't possibly be from God because he's working miracles on the Sabbath day. We really get an understanding of the minds of people that are set in their ways. I've mentioned before, I met a person a couple of years ago at a conference, and Quite the rough and tumble looking guy. He shows up at the minister's conference and he's in a t-shirt and jeans, plain white t-shirt and jeans, just not the way most people there were dressed. Understand that clothes do not make the person. And from right about level with his ears, the top of his sideburns, up over the top of his head was completely shaved. And he had a big long beard. His arms, what you could see, were all covered in tattoos. And he was the pastor of the local biker church. And the bikers met for service on Thursday, because on Sunday afternoon, the bikers are generally out for a ride. Now, a person with so set in their religious ways that they can't wrap their mind around that might say, well, you're supposed to be in church on Sunday. You should be giving up that time on the motorcycle. I got to say, that's between you and God. But here is a person who felt the call of God on his life, and he went and he found a way he could minister and touch people's lives. And it wasn't the normal way. It wasn't the expected way. But it's the way that was making an impact in people's lives. So I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to check myself to make sure I'm not like those Pharisees, saying, well, he can't be from God because he didn't do it this way. We have to change the way we look at things. We have to change the way we think. When we were a child, we thought as a child, we spake as a child, we understood as a child. But when we became adults, we put away those childish things. God does things in ways that we don't understand. God said, my ways are beyond finding out. And if we try to say God will always do something in such and such a way, we're often going to find ourselves wrong with egg on our face. God does things we don't understand, because we don't understand what the goal is. We don't understand what it is that God is doing. I heard just a short clip from IamSecond.com. And if you've never gone to I Am Second, we hadn't done it until just last night. It's very, very fascinating hearing the different people's testimonies. But I heard a short clip from IamSecond.com, and it was Scott Hamill. Many of you remember Scott Hamill is an Olympic figure skater. And he does like Star Disney on Ice and Stars on Ice and different things he's done. And he was relaying when he got diagnosed with a brain tumor. And he told his wife, and his wife immediately began praying for him. And he said, I realized right then where my faith will be, what my source will be, and what my expectation will be. And rather than worry about anything else, he decided to trust God in the middle of it. And as they did the test on the brain tumor, they come to find out it's one that he was born with. And because he was born with this brain tumor, it stunted his growth. If you've ever seen Scott Hamilton, he's about 5 foot tall. He's a very small man. But he said, if I hadn't been so small, I couldn't have been a figure skater. That God had done this, had worked in his entire life. He was born with a brain tumor that, because it was there, affected his development. And as he grew, kind of fit to who he is and who we understand he is. And Scott Hamilton is always giving his testimony. Even I remember when he was competing in the Olympics, Scott Hamilton was giving his testimony about God working in his life. When I say we don't even understand what the question is, we don't even understand what the plan is. So how do we go about trying to direct God? James 1, beginning with verse 22, tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Excuse me. Again, we're called to not only read the word, not only hear the word, but to put it in practice in our lives, to allow it to change us. We are told to renew our mind. We are told to put on the mind of Christ. We are told to grab that new perspective. Because the things that we understand from our youth, the things that we've understood growing up, many of us have come to find out that some of the things we thought were true, some of the things we thought were accurate that we learned growing up, later were not. When I first came back to the Lord, back in 93, one of the first things that God showed me was that every person I had ever learned anything from, I had learned something from them that I found out later was not true. Be it parents, be it school teachers, be it friends, whatever the source, people operate in the best of their understanding, but the best of their understanding is not equal with God's. God is the one who not only sees the end from the beginning, but knows what the plan was that had both pieces in mind. In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Do we ever let that verse just settle into our spirits? The old things are passed away and all things are become new. The things we thought we knew are passed away. The things we thought we understood, our perspective, our way of living, our everything, our way of speech, have all passed away and all things have become new. Continuing on, verse 18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are called to reach out to people. We are called to draw people to the Lord. We are called to be a witness and to be a light every place that we go. And just as it said in verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, not reminding them how messed up they were, not reminding them of their failures, not reminding them of things that are past. But Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the price for that sin. How often do we sometimes hold a grudge? How often do we sometimes remember a person's failures rather than the plan that God has for them? I don't know about you, I'm guilty. We are called, as committed to us, the word of reconciliation. We are called to reconcile people to God. We are called to reconcile relationships. We are called to bring healing every place that we go. Verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us." Do we have that understanding in our lives? As we go out to deal with people, do we have the understanding that we are called to be ambassadors of Christ as though God were pleading through us? "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Does our heart break for the lost around us? Does our heart break for the lost in our family? Does our heart break for the people that do us wrong? Does our heart break for anybody? "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." God has changed us, continued to change us. You do not come into an encounter with the true and living God and walk away the same. "The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish things." We need a new perspective. We need the perspective that comes from God, the perspective that comes from recognizing in each and every person God loves them. In each and every person, God has a plan for them. That become our focus. That we no longer focus on how things affect us. That is part of that childish reasoning, that childish understanding. But rather recognize that God wants to do wonderful things in the hearts and lives of others. Final passage of Scripture, Romans 12, beginning with verse 1. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have so many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. What Paul said is, rather than seeking your own, rather than seeking your benefit, that we should be willing to seek another's benefit, seek another's blessing, seek another's promotion, seek another's joy, seek another's fulfillment. Not to worry about ourselves, but rather to be focused and concerned about other people. And I know we all try to do that, and I also know we all fall short at times. I'm not saying we never do this. I'm saying this needs to be our focus on a regular basis. This needs to be our focus all the time as we're putting on that new mind, putting on that mind of Christ. That our focus doesn't remain on ourselves, but it goes to other people. That's showing that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do we have the understanding that God is going to take care of us? I do. Prayerfully, we all do. Have the understanding that God is going to take care of us. So if we know that God is going to take care of us, that's a huge weight and a burden off of us. That is a barrier to caring for other people that's completely lifted off of us. God in His grace and His mercy have removed that. Therefore, we can put our focus and our energy and our desire into helping others. Our focus and our energy and our desire into showing the love of God to the people around us. Putting our effort, putting putting our conscious thought in knowing that we are called to be ambassadors of Christ, so that as we reach out to other people, it is like God yearning through us, God working through us to touch their lives, God working through us to make a difference in the people that we encounter. That they might come to recognize that God loves them and cares for them. You know, as the Bible, as we've been reading and doing in our Bible study, the one we're working on right now, talking about how the Bible tells us that if we don't love our brother who we have seen, how can we love God who we have not seen? The way to demonstrate the love of God is by being loving to the people around us. And the way the people around us are going to recognize that God loves them is by having the people of God show them love. That new perspective, that new understanding that we are not doing things of our own will, we are not doing things of our own wisdom, we are not doing things of our own planning, but God who loves us, who called us, who's equipped us for His purpose, is at work in us and through us, and recognizing that. Recognizing that God is the one who is actually working through us. We can just not worry about the things going on. Not worry about the outcome. Not worry about numbers. Not worry about our expectations. Not worrying about planning how everything is going to work out. Not even worrying about how the word is going to be received. Well, I can't say that. They'd get upset with me. Well, did God tell you to say it? Then it doesn't matter if they get upset. How is it that you know that that's not exactly what God's been laying on their heart, and to hear it vocalized by another person might tear down some barriers? As believers in Jesus Christ, as members of the body of Christ, as ambassadors of Christ, we are called to speak those things into existence. Call those things as not that are not as though they be. And to declare and to decree and to begin impacting the atmosphere around us. But if we just look outside and say, oh, this is bad and that's bad, and there's just problems everywhere and nobody wants to listen, and you know, no sense even telling people about Jesus, or you know, another one that comes up, as messed up as I am, how in the world can I bring hope to anybody's life? I'm not good enough. Guess what? You're not. But the God in you is all powerful. We don't step out to serve the Lord because we're good enough. No flesh. No flesh can glory in the presence of God. But because of Jesus, our sins are paid for. And not only paid for, but replaced with the righteousness of God because of what's been done on our behalf. Read that story a couple of minutes ago about the guy that had been born blind. And as he began praising God and giving the testimony, people came and began to try to tear him down. The Pharisees were trying to tear him down. The Pharisees were trying to say that the person who healed him couldn't have possibly been from God. He had to have been a sinner. Sometimes people around you will try and tear you down. But guess what? They're not the ones you have to impress in the first place. They're not the ones you have to obey in the first place. As we step out in obedience to God, God will work in our successes and in our failures. As we step out in obedience to God, God will work in the outcome no matter what it looks like. Because we see with our natural eyes. We see the situation based, as I said at the beginning, based on our experiences. That's the natural way of doing it. But we need that new perspective to know that God is at work in a marvelous way in this circumstance, and we have the opportunity to be participants in what God is doing. We have the opportunity to be ambassadors. We have the opportunity, Lord, to be instruments in what God is doing. Now then, you are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. That's that new perspective we need. As though God were pleading through us. It is not our plans. It is not our agenda. It is not our purpose. It is not our understanding. It is the God who created the heavens and the earth and all that in them are, who knit us together in our mother's womb, who equipped us to do exactly what He's called us forth to do, that is working through us in the circumstances for a result that He is the one who has already seen. When we look at it and we try to figure things out in our own mind and our own understanding, we get off track. We need that new perspective of recognizing that God is the one who's equipped us. And even in the good things and in the bad things. The Bible says God causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I'm not suggesting we should go out and see how bad we can mess up just to see how great the grace of God is. What I'm saying is a great and gracious and loving and knowing God loves you no matter what and has a plan for your life no matter what. And He's a plan to use you and touch people's lives no matter what. Even our failures. Even our imperfections. Even those things that just don't make any sense at all to us. We need that new perspective of knowing that God is the one who has the answers. And as we seek His face, as we draw close to Him, He'll allow us to be used to touch and impact other people's lives. And that needs to be our goal. That needs to be our perspective. That we are not in this for ourselves. We are not in this for our understanding. We are not basing our reaction to events on what we think they ought to be. But rather, knowing that God is at work, that God is touching lives, that God is making a difference, that God is drawing people by His Spirit. And when we wrap our minds around that, when we get that new perspective, and I know that's something we have to continue to work on, because it is so natural, it is so normal to go back to our old way of thinking. But our old way of thinking just got us in the mess in the first place. We want to think of things God's way. We want to draw close and do things God's way. We want to seek the face of God His way, knowing that He is the one that's making the change and making the difference. So, Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word this morning. We thank You, Father, that You are at work in us. We thank You, Father, that You have a plan and a purpose for us. Doesn't matter what our history is, doesn't matter what our background is, doesn't matter what our situation is. But, Lord, You are the one who sees the end from the beginning, and You have called us for just such a time as this. That we can be a light, we can be a witness, we can be a testimony. And we can make a difference and an impact in the place, in the people around us. That our light can shine. We thank You, Lord, that Vermont has an open heaven. We thank You, Father, that the fields are ripe unto harvest. And Lord, also wherever other people are listening, be it in Texas, be it in Florida, be it in Arizona, wherever people are listening. You have given us an open heaven. All throughout the whole earth, the fields are white unto harvest. And You've called us here for just such a time as this. So, Lord, rather than look at the obstacles, we look at the opportunities. Rather than look at the difficulties, we recognize that our God is powerful. And no one is able to pluck people out of Your hand. So we give praise and thanks for it. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be Your ambassadors, for the opportunity, Lord, to be Your witnesses, for the opportunity to share the testimonies of things that You've done in our lives, for the opportunities, Father, to make an impact. And Father, we give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.